Right. All right, all right, all right. What is going on today, boys and girls? Wow, do we have a packed day? Or did we have a packed day? And wow, we've got a packed show for you. We've got some crazy news and more companies closing and all sorts of stuff. So today's going to be a show. It's going to be a live call-in show. If you've never watched this before, well, buckle up. You're in for a ride. It's going to be incredible. At any rate, I'm going to play my intro. And I am the only online podcaster that makes a fool of themselves while they sing their intro every day. All right. Here, Lancel. Well, messed up. Bear with me. There's always technical difficulty. Let me. All right. There's that fancy thing. Hold on. What is going on today, boys and girls? It is February 5th, 2:01 on the East Coast. Different time somewhere else. Who cares? We're going to talk about freight. We're going to talk about trucking companies closing. Drivers being stranded because of EFS fuel cards stopped working. We're going to talk about how we are changing the freight game. Well, the freight news media game, or at least that's what we're attempting to do. We should have a pretty big audience as this thing picks up, and I am excited about it. If you didn't know, let me turn this off real quick. All right. So, if you didn't know, my name is Steve. I own Freight Broker Live. I also host this daily show, plus pretty much everything else that goes on with Freight Broker Live every single day. I am also the breaker of freight news. I'm just going to call that. I'm just going to get a shirt that says Breaker with a big hammer or something, because I get tips from people. We broke the big story yesterday about cold carriers closing down, even though they were in a Chapter 11. They were trying to restructure. They were unable to successfully restructure. So they announced Monday to their company that they're closing. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to open up the phone lines early. We're also going to talk about the fuel cards going out and drivers not being able to pay for fuel. And it's not because the fuel cards get down. So I want to be clear in saying that. It's also because the drivers were not prepared, you know. And so we're going to address that. We're going to, like I said, open up the phone lines. Matter of fact, I'll do that sucker right now. You get this banner up here. This is a phone line. You can see it down below, 914-803-4008. You're welcome to call in. I will do my best to pay attention when you call and answer the call. You want to talk about freight? You want to talk about why brokers suck or why brokers are great or why carriers are bad or whatever you want to talk about? Fair game on this show. The only thing I don't talk about is politics because people are babies and they can't handle it. Anyway. So the very first thing that I wrote about last night is someone sent me a message and they said, hey, didn't know if you saw this, but Sunco carriers are closing. And so I was like, huh, why does that name sound familiar? So I did a little bit of research, surfed around, found out who Suncoast was. But I can't just base it off one person's opinion. So I got a couple other messages through social media, confirmed it, and then finally, but I was still a little tentative, so I finally just called them. And I got a dispatcher who didn't want to be announced, but the dispatcher is like, yes, sir. We told everybody yesterday, we are done. We are closing. But they're doing the honorable thing. They're closing at the end of the month. They're trying to get drivers to come in now, park their trucks. I read that they're paying severance. I heard that, reported it. I didn't have an amount. I read somewhere else that linked to my article said that they are doing severance of $1,300 or something. Not a lot, but it's better than what you can do. All right, we have a caller. Let me pick this call up right now. What's up, buddy? You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
What's up?
Hey, so this is just kind of an update. I'm not sure of how many people are aware. According to Fleet One, their systems are now up.
Yeah. Yeah, I updated the story around 9 o'clock this morning because we started getting word from drivers that the fuel cards are up. I have been in constant contact with a couple of drivers who are their fuel cards are not working. A lot of people still can't access the online sites and all that stuff. And some people are saying the cards that have the MasterCard logo are the only ones that are working. It's kind of going all over the place. Are you a driver?
I am. I spoke with you earlier today.
Uh-huh.
I was unable to get fuel down in Texas.
Okay.
And I'm actually a short drive away from the fuel stuff I'm going to try and get to in Louisiana. And hope that this thing works. I still can't get into the online portal.
Right.
My wife has been trying since early this morning, still can't get in, and just hoping I can use this card to get some fuel, because I'd hate
so what's your fallback plan?
Use my debit card again.
Yeah, so that's your fallback using your debit card.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always make sure I have, funds available for emergencies, so this is not really that big of a deal, per se, aside from the 10 to 50 cent per gallon discount I get with my fuel card.
Right.
For the companies that either can't or will not forward the money to these drivers for fuel, it could put people and some shipments in a real bind.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hopefully send me an update once if you are able to buy fuel. So I did update the article because a lot of people are saying they are. Well, there's still some people that are saying they can't. I've reached out to EFS. Of course, I can't get a reply from them. I get the tried to call again at 11 o'clock. I get a general message and sit and wait for, about an hour, and then I give up and hang up. But it brings us to another point. Yep. Hey, thanks for calling in, buddy.
You're very welcome.
All right, bud. It's interesting when you think about it, because like he had a debit card and he's kind of planned, because unfortunately I already marked this as explicit. So I'm going to I curse. I deal with truckers every day. I'm not like one of these glorified podcasters that sit there and pretend they're better than everybody. I curse. I apologize. Fair warning disclosure. So some drivers aren't prepared. When I was running my trucks and I always stashed a couple $100. Granted, we ran local, so a couple $100 was enough. But I mean, when shit hits the fan, you need to have enough set so you can actually make money, and so that you can incorporate, so you can live. I mean, that's the best thing. You just got to be able to live, and you can't do it if you're sitting and stuck. Here's the thing about freight and about tech, and everyone's worried about freight tech and how it's going to change and whether it's good or bad for the industry and all that. You guys, anyone who watches my show regularly knows that I'm a huge proponent of freight tech. I think it's going to be great for the industry if we can get it right. But just like this and every single hacking and every single software glitch that we hear, you need to be prepared because it happens. Load boards go down. It happens. Companies get hacked. It happens. Software glitches happen. ELD glitches. Huge major news. Load boards go down. Huge major news and the world stops. This same thing. Huge major news and the world stops. It crashed my website. When I first published it this morning, it crashed my website twice because I had so many people going to the website panicking about whether or not how they're going to get fuel because they didn't have a contingency plan in place. And I can't impress how important it is for you guys all. Have a contingency plan in place if you're driving a truck. That's it. Have a plan in place. Right Lane on YouTube says there should be a regulation to make fuel cards work. There should. I agree. I think there is, probably. And they're not supposed to not work. And I think everybody ends up losing money when they don't work. Like this guy said, he gets about 50 cents off of the price by using a fuel card versus his own debit card. But he's smart enough to have a debit card. You know how many drivers right now that can't get their cards going are sitting there going, crap, I don't have any money. What am I supposed to do? The companies can't send EFS codes because the whole system is down. So what are they supposed to do? They're going to sit there because there's not a contingency plan in place. When I had my trucks, every single truck had a couple $100 hidden inside it. I didn't tell the drivers where the hell it was because they'd spend my money and be like, oh, my bad. But every single truck had a couple $100 in cash hidden because you never know if I need a tow, I need anything. Is a couple $100 going to help a tow? Hey, you got right lane. You're a big fan of regulation. Not really. Right lane on YouTube always messes with me because I think certain aspects of the transportation industry need to be regulated better, like drivers. I think drivers need to pass some sort of better driving. I mean, they were trying to do it with the driver training stuff. There's too many bad drivers out there. There's too many people that get involved in the industry, either as a broker, as a carrier, that have no business doing it. But I forgot what I was going to talk about. Whatever. And I just realized I forgot. Right lane. Remind me what I was going to say. Hey, the caller that's on hold, I'll answer you in a second. I have to read my sponsor. I forgot. So if you guys don't notice up. Yeah, right there says sponsored by Insurance Unlimited. If you don't know who Insurance Unlimited is, you have to go to their website. Check them out. They are an insurance company that specializes in commercial insurance for truckers, for brokers, for anybody that's involved in transportation. Plus, they also offer every other insurance product you could have either themselves or through partnerships. Well, Insurance Unlimited is your number one referred total logistics insurance company. They specialize in commercial auto liability, cargo, umbrellas, general liability, brokers, contingent liability, media liability, which I need to get, professional liability, which I probably need to get as well, garage keepers, and so much more. The mission of Insurance Unlimited is to serve individuals, families, businesses, with the total insurance coverage for all your insurance needs. They strive to represent quality insurance companies with quality products that have a strong financial backing, security, and with a massive history of success. The rep that I work there with, her name is Brittany Smith. She's awesome. So you call that number, or you know, go to the website, call that number. You ask for Brittany, she'll hook you up. You say you found me on Freight Broker Live. You can thank me later. You'll save a bunch of money on your renewals. All right, we have a caller. Let's answer this thing. Maybe. What's up? You're on the air.
Sweet, man. It's right lane.
What's up?
Can you ask for updates on the fuel card thing from anybody out there? I heard the first caller. I'm looking for confirmation. I, too, just lost $50 in discounts. Getting 100 gallons of fuel, which really hurts my feelings. So, especially when I'm all in freight for this cheap.
I know.
It really hurts, you know?
I know. Rates are low. I heard someone arguing the other day that rates getting paid $1.60 a mile was good and that you should be able to, you should be breaking even at least if you're running for $1.60. Well, newsflash, the cost to operate is $1.82, according to the ATA or ATRI, whatever. So if you're running at $1.60, then you're losing money. That's the way it is. But yeah, fuel. Any viewers know if the fuel cards are in fact up and that you've used it, type in the chat and let people know that it's up. For anyone that's watching on my website, because we're now live streaming on the website as well. Anyone that's watching on the website, in order to comment or to see the comments, you have to go over to YouTube or Facebook or something. Otherwise, just watch, listen, enjoy the peaceful sound of my voice. But right lane, you got anything else to talk about? Where are you heading?
I'm actually on my way down to Houston from Timbuktu, nowhere, Utah. Bonanza, Utah. Check it out on the map.
There's, I'm good.
if you zoom in real close, you can kind of see some buildings there. But anyway, yeah, no, I didn't even want to calculate the rate per mile because it would be too depressing, but at least I'm moving. Maybe we'll get a little capacity squeeze off of this fuel card issue. I want to speak to all the brokers who are listening on your show and say, use this opportunity for shipper education.
And there you go. And
bid those rates up, gentlemen. And then last thing too, I got my first, I guess it's considered dedicated freight. Mm-hmm. So I got my first dedicated freight account, and all I'm doing is working directly with the shipping manager at a facility near my place, and we kind of cut out the broker. And I'll tell you this, Steve, and I'm sure people are going to be interested to hear this. So you know, he's just offering me the rate that he can move it for. And for him, the benefit is he gets a consistent guy who he knows who he's working with, and he knows, you know, that he's not going to run into problems, or if he does, he's going to hear him directly from the horse's mouth. So that's the benefit to the shipper. But however, in my benefit is I get the extra percentage that the broker was taking. The rates that the brokers were moving this freight for was so thin. I mean, it was less than 10%.
Right.
It's thin. And the lane that I'm covering, you know, the runs were like 700, 675. So, dude, oh my gosh.
That's what I'm telling you. A lot of people have this whole crazy idea that brokers, especially because you have stupid sites like Lane Honey out there that are filling your head with crazy stuff. But if I think of what I was going to mention with regulation, I'll say it. But hey, thanks for calling in, bud.
Yeah,
drive safe. But yeah, so right lane got a direct shipper. So, you know, because he's a faithful caller, he calls in, he chats, he's active on this. You know, he got that direct shipper by listening to the words and guidance of me. If you can't tell, I am super amped up. Do you know why I'm amped up? Because my website's had 25,000 hits and it only crashed once. At its highest point today, it had 585 active users at the same time. And for me, that's a personal, like, yeah. And you know why? Because I designed that whole website myself and I'm not a computer guy. So that's pretty impressive to me. With the use of templates that other companies use, and then they get mad because my website looks like theirs. Anyway, Laz, what's up, buddy? You should call in. We'll talk about some, educating shippers. Call in later, though, because I got something else to talk about. So we talked about the ELD, the EFS. If you know what's going on with EFS, it sucks. the fuel cards are down. I personally, when I had trucks, we had fuel cards as well. I didn't, you know, because of where we were buying fuel, it was actually cheaper for me to, because we ran local. So it was different than what you guys are doing. But we had a local gas station that had a diesel pump and they discounted the crap out of the fuel. And we had a fuel account with them. So my trucks would just fill up there every day. And then they also had fuel cards if they had to fill up on the road. But we didn't really use, we had EFS for a little bit because we had to send out money codes for lumpers, because in Metro New Jersey, you have lumpers pretty much everywhere and they suck and they charge too much for nothing. Anyway, but that's that. Let me talk real quick about coal carriers and then we can come back to the EFS thing, because I know that's what's on everyone else's mind. So Coal Carriers was a company that filed bankruptcy back September 27th. They're made of Interide Trucking, Sunco Trucking, and I think Gantt Trucking. So three different companies. They're owned by, I don't have the article up, they're owned by some private equity company that came in, bought all three companies, merged them under one umbrella, and then realized, hey, we don't, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to get sued. But they were kind of like, hey, we don't really know what we're doing, and the company closed. I heard that it was because, you know, a couple of high ups ended up pulling a bunch of employees from Interide, and that's what caused the whole thing. They pulled the employees and the customers. Who actually knows? Long story short, the company filed for Chapter 11 back last year in September. If you don't know what Chapter 11 versus Chapter 7 bankruptcies are, Chapter 11 allows you to continue operating in a, because you want to restructure the company. You want to try to pay your debtors and remove the threat of constant judgments and all that by restructuring your debt, you know, going through someone to pay everything off. Apparently, they were unable to get additional funding, and that's why they ended up closing. Pretty much everyone picked up that story. That story is still doing really well. I'm getting links from I'm getting referral links on analytics from all different sites. It's awesome. I mean, for someone that sits and does this from their house and makes all this content and makes these videos, and it just feels good. I can't even really explain it that much. But when I write an article and I see how affected people are, it makes it all worth it. Because I believe it or not, this is a struggle. Because as Craig said, you know, Craig Bliss on Facebook, what's up, buddy? I think you're calling in a little bit. But as he said, how did I sleep? I broke the big story last night, and then first thing this morning I broke another story, and it's because of you guys. You guys find a story, you know that it's a good story. You know the other media companies that are out there don't necessarily have that, you know, whatever. I don't know what you'd call it. Drive to report on something that truly affects drivers right away, unless it's a big story. Me, I don't care if people view it 100 times. If it helps 100 people understand what's going on in the industry, then I'm going to print it. Laz said private equity firm KJM Capital Transportation Fund Lurch Logistics. Yeah, I don't know what that is. I know KJM was the private equity company that backed and created coal carriers. But anyway, they closed. And it sucks because the part of the issue that I have is the companies are closing. Whatever the reason, you can blame it on poor rates. You can blame it on poor leadership. You can blame it on fraud. You can blame it on driver shortage. You can blame it on ELDs and hours of service. I don't care. The thing that sucks is a company's closing. 350 plus drivers are out of a job. You know, a bunch of people made jokes. Oh, well, good. You know, they're out. It's a driver shortage. So hopefully people are going to be able to get driving jobs quickly. It's hard to keep good drivers. Anyone that's hired drivers recently knows that it's hard. But Laz wrote that. That's funny. I don't know why I posted that either. Advertising for your company. But it just sucks. The transportation industry is hard, you know, and this is with the training thing that I'm doing starting next week. That's one of the things that I'm going to impress. I was telling someone today and they did not sign up because they're like, hey, I want to take your training program. Can you explain it to me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So let me tell you, I'm going to spend the first like 2 weeks telling you the truth about logistics in hopes that you're not going that you're just going to drop out and not continue anymore. And the reason is because there's too many people that are in the industry that have no business being in the industry. If you guys, here's a off topic thing, but if you guys want to watch a video with someone that does work in the industry, has experience in the industry, and is of the voice of the industry, go watch the OIDA's executive vice president. He gave a speech in front of the Senate yesterday. Legendary. I was going to write an article on it, decided not to. I'll just post the video. Do you know why? Because it was that good. I wouldn't do any justice to it. That guy, he said we're in a state of dysfunction with trucking. That he was the only one in the entire room, including senators and the president of the ATA and all these other big associations that have the best interests of truckers and the brokerage and all that, the best interests in mind for those guys. He's the only one that has the experience driving a damn truck. All these people want to regulate the industry, but nobody has any experience in the industry. It's kind of, it's puzzling. It's just like people that are out here running trucking associations with no experience behind the wheel, or freight brokers getting involved with being freight brokers that have no business doing it because they don't even know what a driver has to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So for me, when I read about a trucking company closing and shuttering or for whatever the reason, it always strikes me the same way. And it's just like I told my wife, I have to write about it. Because it's something I am passionate about. I want those 350 plus drivers to understand that someone is out there and thinking about it in such a negative light or in a positive. I don't even know how you look at it. It sucks, dude. And I realize it. And it just offends me terribly when people just write and they're just trying to get the media aspect of it and they're not paying attention to it, like who it affects. You know, and I think sometimes people, everyone involved, and I have an equal part to play because I'm a broker. You guys have equal parts to play because you're carriers and brokers. We all have say in the industry. And it's about time that someone actually stands up and says, okay, these things work. Rates suck. These do not work. We need to make the industry better so we don't have companies that are closing like crazy. We don't have predatory lenders coming in and selling us bum equipment. We don't have private equity companies coming in that don't necessarily have any involvement in transportation, but then take over, you know, possessive control and try to run it into the ground or sell the equipment or do any of that. Because all those people are not taking into effect all the drivers that are done, you know, and it sucks. The fuel card thing, that's a whole different system. It sucks. If you guys are relying on fuel cards and the fuel cards crash, there's nothing we can do about it. It sucks. We can voice it. We can write about it. I can write about it. I could try to be vested with people and say, hey, listen, this sucks. Anything I could do to help? No, I can't send you money. That was a conversation I had this morning, believe it or not. But, you know, just, you know, and try to support them through the time. Like when load boards go down, everyone complains when the DAT load board, which is the load board I refer, I think it's a great load board. Everyone complains when DAT goes down. Why do they complain when DAT goes down? Because they don't, wow, that's dark. Because they don't have a secondary load board. They don't have a contingency plan in place for when the first load board crashes. It's crazy, right? Who would have thought that? You wouldn't have a contingency plan in place for when something goes wrong. Kind of mind-blowing. All right, I have a caller. Let me pick this up. What's up? You're on the air.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig.
What's up, Mr. Craig Bliss? Host, no, chairman of Freight Brokers and Truck Drivers on Facebook. What's up?
There we go. The chairman, you can call it that.
Yeah.
Hey, I just heard you mention something about your freight agent training that you're doing.
Yeah.
I wanted to speak about that because, you know, you mentioned something about, you know, the lack of training. One thing about on the freight broker side is the problem is with the freight brokers, just because you have a brokerage authority does not mean you're a freight broker. And just because you take a dispatching class does not mean you can broker freight or be a successful freight agent. So I think the stance that you're taking about almost convincing people not to go in the industry is literally the way to do it, because whoever survives is probably going to be successful.
Right. It's a survival of the fittest mentality. That's kind of what I'm going into. And plus, you also have a vested interest because you're going to help me with some of the sales presentations and the latter part of that course too, you know, which is I'm excited about because I'm, you know, I'm a sales whiz. What can I say? I'm pretty awesome at everything I do, but I have a very targeted approach to the way I do things. So the way I do sales isn't going to work for you. It's not going to work for anybody else. And that's why for the last part of the training thing that I'm doing, I wanted to have other people give their perspectives and talk about it. And it's pretty exciting for me because I think a lot of people are going to get something out of the training for once, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I hope that a lot of carriers are listening or a lot of these owner operators are listening, because I know those are the ones who wants to go out and get a brokerage authority or who are interested in learning brokering. And I always say the best brokers sometimes have that carrier background. I know you have a carrier background. I have a light carrier background. I believe one of your group members, Laz, he has a carrier background as well, and he also brokers. So I always say, you know, the best brokers come from that background. So I'm excited to see what you do with your training program there.
Yeah, well, it should be awesome. I don't know what to say there. Thank you for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Yep, bye. All right, Molly, of course, you have to be the one. Molly on Facebook. When I wrote this really quick, I didn't pay attention to what I was writing. So she found a grammatical error and decides to, you know, point it out. And because I am, where is it? Hold on. And because I am OCD, I have to fix it in the middle of the show. Well, there you go. Now it's fixed. Or it should be. Maybe not. Who knows? But at any rate, back to what we were talking about. Yeah, so the training, Laz, you're funny, bud. Yeah, the training that I'm doing, I don't really want to talk about it too much because it may be full. I don't even know. I don't know how many people signed up. I only wanted to take a certain amount. I just haven't took it down yet. But it's different than anyone that I've ever done and anyone that sits out there, because one, I'm going to focus very heavy first on the carrier side. Why? Because just like Craig just said, carriers are the foundation of trucking. I mean, that's one of the principles behind this whole show, is I'm trying to speak for you. I'm trying to report on the news that's relevant to drivers, to the small brokers, to the people that don't necessarily have a voice, that aren't getting news and getting all the content that's out there. So I decided that I'm going to do this training, and I'm not joking. For the first week, I'm just going to run through scenarios on how you're going to lose all your money and how you're going to sit there and go, what the hell did I do? Why did I think it was a good idea to get into trucking, regardless of as an owner, operator, or broker? And I'm going to spend a lot of time on it, and I'm going to tell you all the mistakes I've made. I'll tell you the mistakes other friends and other company owners that I know have made, and now why they're successful, why I'm successful, Am I successful? I sit here and I wonder how, you know, you know what my day consists of? This is the truth, is I write articles, but then I sit and I watch analytics. So I see if someone actually likes my article, and then I'm like, okay. So that's what I do. You know, but I like it. You know, I really enjoy making these videos. I enjoy doing everything. Craig Bliss on Facebook asked, I heard I can get rich quick by becoming a broker. Is that true? Absolutely not. No, you can't. This isn't a get rich quick scheme. It's not going to work that way. You know, especially not on the broker side. You actually make money quicker on the carrier side. Granted, you have a lot more money you put out initially. Brokers, if you've got $3,500 and yeah, that's it, you can do it. You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you got $3,500 to do your filings and all that crap, bum, you're a broker. Are you going to get rich? Absolutely not. Takes a long time. Do you know when I finally started making money as a broker? Well, full disclosure, I started a trucking company first. That's how I got my first customers. That's how I ended up being able to survive. If I had to start a brokerage first, I'm not going to make any money because it takes a long time for that money to start coming in. But, you know, yeah. I mean, you could go take a 4-day boot camp or a 4-day class, or you can go to Atlanta and take some little course for 2 days. And guess what? Boom, you get a fancy certificate. You're a fancy little freight broker now. And then you're going to sit there and you're going to look at the daunting task of cold calling customers for days and days and days. Remember, I've always said, you know how many cold calls it takes before you actually land a customer? 6,668. That's how many calls it takes before you land your first customer. And you'll only know if you actually try to get that many calls. If you get to 6,667 calls, you should not be in the business. That's my opinion, but. Craig Bliss on Facebook said Atlanta is a hot spot for become a broker for $500 companies. Well, what I'm going to do is when I get rich and famous from doing all these podcasts and writing all these fancy articles and stuff, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do like a prank or like, like, you know, the videos where they do to catch a predator. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear disguises. I'm going to run into these places and I'm just going to out them. And you know, what are they going to do? I'm a 6'1", 300-pound power lifter. What the hell are they going to do? I should do that. That would be hilarious. Maybe I'll start with the next boot camp. Not really. That would be mean. I'm not crapping on any boot camps. They're all great. Everyone learns a lot there, and as long as they understand, you're not going to learn everything. That's fine. Craig Bliss on Facebook said I should get a camper and do a road show. Well, that's the plan. I'm trying to convince my wife to let me build there's an old Freightliner that I want to buy, and it's got a sleeper. I want to take the fifth wheel off and put a big, ugly pickup truck bed, and then wrap the whole thing with my face on either side of the sleeper. How awesome would that be? And then go to all the mats and gats and all the big transportation events, and it's just got my face on the side of the truck. I don't think she's going to let me do it, though. You know, for one, she doesn't like me spending money anymore because now I'm a journalist, and journalists don't make money. But yeah. It's fun. I like doing all this stuff. I like doing the trainings when I do them, and people are receptive to it. Jason Miller on Facebook said, will I be at the Mats convention? I will. I don't know what days I'm going to be there. I know I'm going to be there part of Thursday, all day Friday, and I'll probably bounce out sometime Saturday morning. It all depends on if I fly or drive. I haven't decided what I want to do. I like driving. I don't necessarily like driving my car, though. It's not that comfortable for long road trips. But yes, I'm going, so you can meet me. I'm not going to be in a booth. I'll just be running around, walking in circles, looking aimlessly and in awe at all the trucks and laughing at other stuff, probably. But so what's up? Anyone want to talk about anything else? I really thought it was going to take me a lot longer to go through everything I did. I'm going to get some water. Here, enjoy this commercial. I'm simply the best, better than all the rest, yeah, better than anyone, I'm the best.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
I love that. That thing will never get old to me, ever. It's just goofy. I like it. So, yeah, there's some other stuff. Yes, Matt's I'm going to. I know I'll probably do something with OTR. I'll probably do something with Trucker Tools. I'll probably do something with DAT. But who knows? what else I'll do. You know, like I said, I'm not going to get a booth. I'm not going to sit in a booth for hours because I want to walk around and see stuff. I heard there's a fat guy race in the parking lot, so I want to go see that and laugh. Stuff like that, you know. Just want to enjoy myself and see all the people and meet people and be recognized and all that stuff. Plus write articles about new and interesting trends in transportation. So, all right. Eric Usling on Facebook said, was my commercial PETA, whatever. Were they those pet advocate people approved? LOL. No, probably not. But it's a Norwegian commercial that I ripped off. So maybe. Jason Miller said, exactly as Bliss says, do a live show. I'm sure we can get some parking in the free lot for truck parking and a stage off of the flatbed like our parking lot concert series. Yeah. Jason, send me a message. We'll figure it out, bud. I'm interested. It should, whatever I do will be interesting. Laszlo said Tom G should be in it. Don't know who Tom G is. I'm not big on all these social media guys. I don't know who anybody else is, to be honest. I know who the people that I do not like are, or the one or two good people that I do like, but there's so many people that make content online that it's just hard to follow all the time. I know that I am aiming to be the number one freight-related podcast out there, and you know what? Gosh darn it. Why is this picture so dark? It's annoying because this one has a big light in my back. Anyway, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. So do you guys know that you can find this podcast and all my previous podcasts on iTunes and Google Play and all that stuff? You should all, everyone who watches this should do me a huge solid and go to iTunes, go to Google Play Podcasts, whatever, subscribe to my podcast, leave me a review about how awesome and truthful and everything I am, and then go from there. All right, Tom Giannopoulos, yeah, maybe. I don't even know who that is either, to be honest. All right, yeah, I think he's a Facebook guy, but whatever. So I'll talk about EFS here in a second. Franz Hayden said, what a nasty guy, I want to make fun of fat people. Franz, if anyone doesn't know who Franz is, he is a regular, so he comes on the show every single day, and he writes stuff and calls me a nasty guy over and over. Super nice guy, though. Actually, once in a while, has something insightful to say. And, you know, so I deal with everything else. If you're watching this on YouTube, please make sure you like it, subscribe to my channel, and follow it. Do whatever else you do on YouTube. I have no idea. Jeremy said, I think we're related. Yeah, probably. I don't know. Oh, because of the muscles. Yeah, maybe. All right. So Jason Miller asked me to recap on the EFS comments. So from what we know, the fuel cards are still not working. Some people have reported that they are working. I am suspecting that the fuel cards that are working also have the Visa MasterCard logo on them because they're saying they are just going in and swiping it and being able to fuel. They're not putting any it like data, trucks, odometer readings, truck number, tag number, driver numbers. They're not putting any of that information. They're just using their, they're just swiping the card and go. And going, I heard comments earlier where people said that they lost my train of thought again, guys, that they were able to purchase more fuel than what they knew they had credit for. So it tells you something's really wrong, while others are simply not able to use the fuel cards. We had a caller in this morning. Again, if anyone wants to call in, my phones are finally working. 914-803-4008. Let's shoot the shit. Talk about the industry. Talk about why it's bad. Talk about why it's good. This is a explicit podcast today, unfortunately. I always try to keep it mellow, but it's not working. Whatever. This is trucking. I can't censor myself. I don't have a fancy beep like some of the other pod. That was not high-pitched. I can't do high-pitched noises, but it is what it is, you know? So the EFS, to me, it's still down. I updated the article that I wrote this morning to say that drivers are reporting that it's functional because a lot of drivers did report it's functional, but it still seems that maybe it's like when the OmniTrax story got out, and if you guys didn't know, I broke that story too. Why is it that I break all the big stories? I have no idea. Anyway, so when I broke the OmniTrax story, when OmniTrax started coming on, it came on by region. You know, it wasn't just like, oh, all at once it came on by region throughout, you know, the states. Same thing happens with websites as well. When you port over a website. So when I took my website and it, where it was hosted from Duda and I switched to WordPress, it actually went blank for an entire weekend. And then when I was on the phone with technical support, they're like, no, we see your website. Looks great. Where you did a really good job. And then I'm looking at it and I'm like, no, it still says it's down. And they're like, oh, well, it works because we're in Central America. And then they explained that it works in regions when you have, you know, systems like that. Jason Miller on Facebook said, mine with MasterCard logo allowed me to take cash from the ATM. However, being Ontario, California, my card price would have been $2.40 per gallon. However, I ended up paying $3.40 per gallon. Yes, that is something to think about, though. You just made a good point. While they may not be working for your fuel purchase at the pump, if you do have the ability to pull cash, you may be able to pull the cash off of the card. Trojan White on Twitch. This is the first Twitch comment I've had. You say, what's the topic? Well, we are a freight podcast. So we talk about freight and we talk about current events and news that are involved in freight. You should check out the website, freightbrokerlive.com. It's my website. I'm the sole author and whatever that you call. But I break news stories. Today we broke a story about the EFS cards. So they're basically fuel cards. I don't even know if you're a trucker or whatever, but they're fuel cards that every single truck driver in the United States has. And if they don't have, they have regular debit cards, but usually they use fuel cards because they get discounts. We also use these things called money codes, and that's how we pay for lumpers and sometimes tows and all that stuff. Oh, you just reminded me. So Rightlane, if you're still here, you know what I think we should regulate? Besides, if anyone doesn't know and you've never seen what I think, or you never watch my show, here's the types of regulation that I think. ELDs should be abolished. We shouldn't have ELDs. We should just, or if we keep ELDs, we should fix the hours of service. It's one or the other. I mean, ELD, if you abolish ELD, you're going to cheat your hours of service. That's the only reason why you'd abolish the ELDs. You should really just fix the hours of service first. Drivers that are 21 years old crossing interstate lines, hell no. They can't even drive here, just in four-wheelers. How the hell are we going to let them? Hold on, that's really bright now. See, this freaking house, the sun, this is Florida. It's bright as hell. But yeah, we shouldn't have 21-year-old drivers. But what I was talking about, I do believe we need to regulate who is able to enter the industry. So, and specifically, people that are filing for their own carrier authority should have to prove that they have time behind the wheel, time being an owner-operator, time working for a trucking company, some way that they understand that it may not work and that we could prove whether you take a course or something and get certified as a company owner. But you should have to prove, just like when you take a CDL, you got to actually take a course to drive the truck. You may be a farmer guy and grew up on a farm and you've been driving trucks since you were five. Who knows? You still have to take that license. I think the same thing should have to apply in trucking. Same thing with brokers. I don't think anybody should be able to go out and start a broker. I think you should have some government mandated test. You can't be an EMT without going to a course. You can't get any sort of professional license, contractor, whatever. Even, I mean, lawn care, you need a license, for Christ's sakes. So why can you go out and start a trucking company, or why can you go out and start a brokerage and then realize after a while that you've spent all your money, your customer pays you, you realize you got to pay the carrier, but you haven't even paid yourself back all the money. So you just say, screw it, you're not paying the carrier and you're filing for bankruptcy and you take all the money. Because that's what happens. Do you know, here's the thing. If you think about trucking and you think about what happens when an owner op goes out of business, they lose their livelihood. They lose their company. Their family kind of, suffers at the most part. If you look at the broker, when a broker goes out of business, so do all the carriers that they owe money to. So definitely if you want to argue about who you should regulate and who you shouldn't regulate, that's a fact. When a broker goes out of business, usually it means they haven't paid any of their carriers. Those carriers rely on those funds. So why not require a broker to actually prove that they have some sort of education and that they have some sort of knowledge in the industry, so they're not going to go rip people off? I mean, you would think it's common sense, but a lot of people argue with me. God, that's bright. Let me switch it back to this one. Damn, I got to buy those expensive lights so I can keep the blinds shut. That's what I'm going to do eventually, someday. Trojan White on Twitch said, just to play devil's advocate here, are you for or against unions? What about camera being installed in the driver cabin if it's a company enforced? Will you or can you go solo? I don't know what the guys, I'm going to have to play the commercial and close that blind. It's way too bright in here now. To answer your question, and then I'll play that commercial again. Am I for unions? Yeah, I think something happened. Like, not the Teamsters and all that stuff, but I think owner operators need a union. And I think brokers need a union. Ideally, it would be awesome if a union was combined with both of them. Or an association that actually gave a crap about trucking. Because you don't really have that either. So am I pro union? Yeah. Do I think union dues are too high and people that a lot of unions? My wife's in a union. It's not really the best union. They don't really do the best, the most for. She got switched to a different grade out of license, meaning she wasn't even licensed to teach that grade. She went to the union. The union's like, oh, you know, we only deal with like time off. That's it. We don't deal with anything else. But I think some association or something where they actually look out, and we're supposed to have them. I know what a lot of you are thinking, but we're supposed to already have them. We're supposed to have the ATA. We're supposed to have the OOIDA. Even the SBTC, if they got their crap together and started working properly, God, that's bright as shit. Then, you know, they would be a good platform. Although there's no way in hell they have 15,000 members. Hey, I got to play this commercial while I close that blind because it's bright as hell in here. One second.
I'm simply the best, better than all the rest, yeah, better than anyone, I'm the best.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
I think it's funny. There, see? Now the light actually works because the blind's closed. All right. But yeah, that's my opinion on it. Driver-facing cameras, I don't know. If it makes the insurance cheaper, who the hell cares? You know, would I drive a truck if it had a driver-facing camera? No, probably not. Because I don't want all the dispatchers and shit laughing when I pick my nose or I smash my scratch myself or get mad and have road rage behind the wheel. Because now they have cameras that'll literally sense when you're getting mad and ping dispatch. like that's insane. And that's the way it's going to happen with insurance. You watch 10 years from now to drive a commercial vehicle, you're going to have a driver facing camera that literally senses when you're getting mad because some idiot in a four wheeler just cut you off and you're going to slam into on your brakes and they're going to get all pissed. But no, so driver-facing cameras, absolutely not. I don't think they should be mandated. I do think if you utilize them, you should be able to get a discount or get paid more. If you're a driver, get paid more. That's my opinion. And will you, can you go solo? Well, I don't drive a truck anymore, so yes and yeah. I wouldn't team drive, I could tell you that, because I'm not shit. I barely can hold a conversation with my wife before I get ticked off. So I certainly can't spend 24 hours a day in a truck with another person, guy or female. I'd literally lose my mind. I'd be trying to listen to metal. They'd be listening to Sublime. I'd be listening to Fox News. They'd ask to put on like NPR or something like that. So no, I don't do the team driving. Last time I did, I was training one of my drivers and we ended up taking a run. We went on the road. We were doing like a moving job or something too, because we had our household goods authority as well. And long story short, he demanded more money at the job site. Then he started getting lippy in the truck and I ended up smacking him and throwing him out at a McDonald's. He called the police. The police came. They're like, did you hit him? I said, yep. I told them situation. They said, well, we're going to arrest you if you don't agree to give him a ride home. So I did. I gave him a ride home and we got in the truck and I told him, don't say another damn word to me or I'll just drive down the road and throw you out while we're driving. Anyway, I don't drive with other people. I don't have the temperament for it. Don't like it. Laszlo on Facebook said, the best thing I ever did when I opened up my carrier authority, Years ago, I went through all the steps to research and found out how much it costs. That research and knowledge gave me a totally different perspective on the brokerage side of the industry. It also gives me the knowledge not to go into a shipper and just attempt to undercut and try to win the customer. I mean, that's how I got involved in brokering in the first place, is I started as a carrier. That's why I feel like I'm a good broker. That's why I feel like I have a connection with shippers. That's why I feel like I'm able to talk to carriers and have an understanding of how much it actually costs to operate their truck and what it's like to sit in a truck while you're, you know, on the road or treacherous weather or whatever the circumstances are. It gives you a much better, you know, understanding of the industry. And that's why I think everybody should do it. Right Lane on Facebook said, or no, on YouTube, Right Lane said, Steve is pro licensing requirements for hair braiders and florists. Absolutely. You know why? Because one time I ordered a vase full of flowers from my wife, and I swear I could have went in her yard and picked the flowers, and it cost me $90. She was happy, though. Right now, I'm not going to No, she's not. But that's it. Noob Truck Pilot on YouTube said, unions suck. They exist to make themselves rich at the expense of the worker. They put workers over companies who actually write your checks. No unions. Your company sucks. Find a better one. Kind of agree with that, too. You know, like I said, the only reason I would say a union would be beneficial to the trucking industry is because it would kind of bring it together. It would. And that's why I said, if you could find a union that incorporates, or an association, whatever, that incorporates brokers, both large and small, that doesn't have stupid, you know, high dues just to get in, and protects the drivers that are out there that are essentially losing their ass. I think what it would end up doing is forcing everybody to work together. And then we'd have a little bit more control over rates. Now, there's a misconception that brokers are out there making 60, 70, 80% on each load. And that's the reason why rates are low. I'm not even going to entertain that right now. And we talked about rates yesterday. That argument is BS. And anyone who says that needs to take a training course. Go do the boot camp one, though. I don't even want you in mine. But that's my opinion. Call-in line is 914-803-4008. The call-in line is active. You're welcome to call in. Don't like something I said? Argue or just call in, say anything. I don't really care. That's what the show is for. It's to be helpful one way or the other. And whether or not you like what I have to say, that's the benefit of the show, is trying to make it to. So, geez, now that's dark. Well, keep messing up. All right. Microlithic describes corporations as well. Yeah, about unions. I mean, they're all the same thing. You know, when you have mega corporations, they look out for the bottom line. They don't typically look out for the worker. Doesn't matter what industry you're in. It always works that way. I've worked for big companies. I've worked for small ones recently and a long time ago. Ultimately, when they decide that what's better in the business interest and whatever focus that they're looking for is more important than the worker, that's when companies end up getting bad reputations or fail or whatever the case is. It's uniform with trucking as well. Look at it. You have great companies that are in existence and they're struggling to get by every single day because there's just not enough money or whatever the reason is. And then you have really bad mega carriers that have so many trucks and the drivers are unhappy there and they always complain about it. And everyone makes fun of the trucks because they have accidents all the time, whatever. You know who I'm talking about. And yet they're profitable and they're still making money. Do you know why? Because they are focusing on themselves. They're not focusing on the drivers. They know, especially right now, it's a driver's market. Drivers are looking for jobs. We have this big mythical driver shortage that everyone talks about, which is BS. It's not hard for a driver to find a job. And, you know, drivers can switch. So, I mean, that's transportation. It is what it is. Eminem on YouTube said, wait a minute. There's actually a guy that tries to educate the industry instead of griping about how tired he is from training everyone and makes videos complaining about other training platforms just to get people in webinars. LOL. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. I mean, I complain about training people as well. This morning I was tired as shit. I was up till midnight working on the other articles and doing all the tracking. This story about the fuel cards came in last night. And I didn't even do it. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're talking about on MM. But it is what it is. But yeah, the stories for the ELDs came in, or the EFS fuel cards came in last night. I just didn't have the time to write it. So I just didn't care. And it's not that I didn't care. One, I couldn't verify it came in super late and there weren't enough people online ringing it as true. And then secondly, I just didn't have the effort to write it. You know how many stories I have partially written? I was telling someone that in a meeting this morning. I have like 8 or 9 stories partially written because one, I'm not a writer and I have a hard time focusing on stuff because, to be honest, I like reading about something and researching it. I don't like writing about it after. So what I end up doing is I start writing and I'm doing my research as I'm writing. And then I'm like, wait, they talked about this trucking company. Let me link it to there. And then I see an ad about something else. And then by, you know, an hour later, I'm writing a story about something else. And then that same process goes on. So I have like 8 half written articles from yesterday because, again, I'm not a writer. I just like researching. But who else is going to report it? I was the first one to report this. I was the first one to report coal carriers shutting down because no one else picked it up. Coal carriers, the way I found out about coal carriers is I saw a post that was 10 hours old. So that was, and the first thing I do when I write about a story to decide whether it's worth it is I go to all the other websites that cover freight and cover transportation and see if there's a story written about it using search functions or whatever. And if I don't see it, then I'll write an article and try to put it out quickly. I used to write the article, put it out, and then send everybody my article so they could all publish it. Because again, the best interest, my interest in doing this is to educate, is to try to help people understand. So if I write an article about the EFS cards, that's because some people are waking up and they got a quarter tank of gas and they're just like, well, I'm just going to run to the fuel station. I'm going to get my coffee. I'm going to, you know, buy my fuel. And then they get there. They haven't even had their coffee yet. Their damn fuel card doesn't work. And then they flip out. And there's reports that one guy had a Loves sitting there punching the thing because his card didn't work. I mean, that would be me, to be honest. First thing in the morning, I get out, I stretch, I go, you know, pull up to the fuel aisle, the fuel, and get a coffee. But I do it right. I fuel first, pull the truck forward, then I go in to pay and do all that stuff. Or not to pay, but to get my receipt and buy coffee. I would do the same damn thing. If I'm sitting there running my card, it's not working. I'm putting in the truck number, it's not working. I'm calling the people inside, they're not answering because they've been dealing with the calls all night. Yeah, I'd probably beat the hell out of that machine too. But that's just me. That's just who I am. Not everybody has the issues. Eminem said, wait, so I already read that. Yeah, I mean, there's people that do it all the time. People do it on Facebook. People do it on YouTube. They make these videos and they talk about stuff and just try to get people to go to their trainings and webinars. If you guys don't realize, I only do the trainings when I have time and when it's conducive. And to be honest, when I need money. It's expensive to do all this stuff. I try to charge low enough that people don't break their back when I do it, but it helps me pay for the website. It helps. I'm going to buy a new camera because these ones suck, clearly. But that's what it does. That's what it does. I tried to create a store. That didn't work because I get on here and I'm too damn honest. And I'm like, yeah, here. So you guys want to see this? If you don't know my website, this is my website. This is Freight Broker Live, the store or the website I spent a tremendous amount of time building. 16 hours, actually. It didn't take me that long. But I taught myself WordPress on how to do it. But see, I have the shop here. And I talked about it yesterday real quick. So if you come in here, you're going to see I've got flatbed equipment. I've got apparel. I've got in-cab electronics. And I've got safety crap for you to have in your truck. If you click on the apparel, maybe if it works. Nah, it's just slow because I probably have a crap ton of people on the page. But when you click it, it's got all sorts of, you know, sweatshirts and all this stuff. And this sweatshirt, which I really like, but sweatshirts and shirts about being a trucker and this and that. And I'll be completely honest with you, everybody, just so you know, because I'm brutally honest. You can go to Amazon and search for these same exact items and find the same items for about $10 less. Do you know why? Because that's where I grabbed the pictures from. But because I figure, hey, if I sell them, I'll order on Amazon. I already got free shipping. I'll ship that crap to you and I'll make $10 a shirt or whatever. Is that greed? No, that's being a capitalist and trying to make money so I can keep doing the websites and all that stuff. But yeah, so the website is, it's pretty, I'm happy with it. You know, we have all the content. The only thing I got to figure out is I have 3 of the same stories shown here because it's the number 1 freight tech, number 1 trucking news, and number 1 premiere story. So I got to fix that. But make sure you check it. Now when I do my live stream, it's going to pop up here and you're going to see all that stuff. It's super cool. All right, but that's that. I'm going to wrap this show up here. It's been an hour. Truck driver said, is the EFS going to be fixed? Yeah, eventually it's going to be fixed. It's going to. Eminem on YouTube said, do I want to do some investigative reporting, see if Scooby actually hand-delivered 100 donation for each person to sign up for his boot camp in November, December, not saying anything, LOL. Nah, I don't care. I'm going to leave that guy alone because he seems to take all the stuff I say to heart and it personally affects him, and I don't want him to do that. I still think some of these training programs, as long as you go in with the mindset that you are not going to be prepared, you're probably going to learn the wrong way to do things because, like most people say, the people that are teaching are no longer doing it. That is absolutely 100% true, even in my case. I am teaching people, or when I do my little trainings and stuff, I am not actively brokering freight while I'm teaching. Do you know why? Because it would literally be impossible because I'm teaching people how to do stuff. But I own a brokerage. I own a brokerage agency, and I have people that work for me. And when freight picks up, that's one of the reasons why I'm saying I got to do a training now, because when freight picks up, that's priority. I make a tremendous amount of money doing being a freight broker. Of course, I'm going to do that when season picks up. But a lot of these people, their whole job, their whole career is doing these trainings. How can you train someone to work in an industry when you're not working in it? That's it. I don't care whether, you know, he agreed to do donations to people. I don't care. You know, ultimately, I know that anybody that comments that's part of his group and anyone who comments in my videos gets, you know, kicked out of their groups. And I don't want to be a part of that stuff. So I'm kind of leaving him out of my conversation. I think he teaches a lot of things that are good, and I think he teaches a lot of things that need work. But I mean, you're going to go any program that's out there that's had one person successfully complete it has something to offer. Just whether or not, the only thing I believe is that if you're going to take a program or you're going to teach a program, you have to give a full disclaimer that even in mine, it's 6 weeks long. You are not going to be ready to be a broker. If you read like all the paperwork, I say that. I'm not going to give you some fancy certificate. No, you're not going to be ready to be a successful broker. Why? Because I've been doing this 15 years and I learned something new about freight every single day. And that's it. And that's it. That's the truth. Anyway, no more talking about other freight broker trainings or anything today, because it's boring me. Laz said, you can't. Those people are just attempting to make money for something they aren't able to do themselves, which I, if you can't do, teach. That's a common theme. It's a common saying. It's been around for a long do. See, look at there you go. Those who can do, those who can't teach. Same thing. Microlithic on YouTube said, sell some Freight Broker Live branded merchandise. Yeah, I mean, that's a plan eventually someday. I just don't have time to do it. It takes a lot of time because right now I'm literally doing everything on the website. Every single banner you see on the website, I personally designed. Every single, you guys don't understand how long it takes me to do that kind of stuff. But again, it today it's worth it. When I have 15,000 people that visit my site, it's 100% worth it. It makes everything I do worth it. To know that people are reading my articles and learning something or even not. I mean, I have people that argue and say, well, who gives a shit about EF carts? Well, the people that actually give a shit, those are the people that care. Who cares if a company closed? Well, all the people that are unemployed and this guy, because I care about companies that close, even if I don't like that company. That's it. You know, I've made decisions to alter articles and to do other stuff because of potential implications. Things that would happen to other people because of what I write. Hell, that's why I won't talk about certain other freight broker training programs out here, because I don't want other people that aren't part of it being affected by it. So it is what it is. It's just sad. But I forgot. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about anymore. This show is pretty much done. If you've never watched my show before, you're still watching now, you're probably pretty excited to watch it, or you're not and you're going, holy cow, this guy's still talking. one or the other. Make sure you go to freightbrokerlive.com. Write comments on the articles. You guys can do that at the bottom of every page. You can write comments. As soon as your first comment's approved, you no longer need to be censored or anything else. On my website, I also have this section here. It's under, my phone's ringing. I have Trucker Lounge, which is a section here under Virtual Truck Stop. This here is a forum. You can put in comments about stuff. I'd really like people to actually do it. Write about factoring, write about broker reviews, write about what it was like when you first started booking freight, write, you know, an intro to yourself and try to, you know, I'm trying to build this as an online brand where people can actually learn something and turn, you know, besides having a search on Facebook every single time, because we all know Facebook isn't necessarily the best place. It's how I built the brand, so it's good. But that's under Virtual Truck Stop. I've got my live show, which broadcasts every single day at 2 o'clock on the website. I've got the shop where you can buy stuff. And again, it's, you can go on Amazon and find every single thing that's on there for, you know, about 10 bucks cheaper on Amazon. Or you could buy it from me and I'm just going to order it on Amazon and then I make 10 bucks out of the deal. That's kind of my deal. Ships within a week. Logistics jobs is going to be removed. I'm going to build a, like a training platform. So I'll do some paid trainings, but when I don't have time to actually do the paid training, what I'm going to do is just offer the same damn training for free. That's why the way I'm doing the training now is I'm doing webinars in the morning and they're going to be very limited participation-based webinars because then I'm going to rip those webinars off and make them into modules and build the program around. I have a, you know, because I want to be able to teach people the right way to book freight and the right way to approach the industry and the right way to care about the industry. So this spot that says trucking jobs, it's going to be gone because I'm not going to pay for the software for the jobs anymore. That all jobs that I have will be under classifieds. I may just change that to like jobs and shit or something like that. And then this will be a training tab. Once I finish building out all the training, so it'll have, I'm working with DAT on creating like trainings for their software, for the load boards and all that stuff. And I'm going to put it all on there. So it's going to be a combination of free and not free, you know, material, you know, whatever I can do for free is what I'm going to try to do, but it is what it is. But make, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you, like, subscribe. I need, this is the deal. I need 200 more subscribers on YouTube before I can monetize that sucker. So get me some subscriptions, boys and girls. Tell all your friends about the YouTube channel. Do whatever you got to do because that also helps. And yeah, keep, you know, whatever the saying, I got to come up with some fancy saying for the end of the show. You know, like it's real freight, real talk by a real dude, whatever. Have fun. Here's the little exit thing. Make sure you like and share this video. Because you like it. See you later.